there's the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, and 3CR always recognizes this each year. And, you know, we bring you interviews and stories from grassroots feminists and gender activists demanding change against gender-based violence and other human rights violations, including housing and struggles for liberation and disability justice, refugee rights, climate justice and sexual health. These are all connected. And, yeah, I guess this is a campaign that's it's led annually, just for people who don't know the history of it, it's led annually by the UN Women, and it runs every year from the 25th of November, which is the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, and it runs to the 10th of December, which is Human Rights Day. And I guess we are in a emergency right now, right here in Australia, where more than one in three women have experienced men's violence. The deaths of 26 women happened in the first 114 days of this year, and that is equivalent to one woman being killed every 4.38 days. And I guess, yeah, I guess what, you know, the way we can kind of, you know, maybe even ask ourselves what drives violence against women, particularly by men. I guess to address this national emergency, we need to be clear on what those drivers are, and address that, as well as assisting the victims and survivors. And we need to kind of think about the causes of misogyny and sexism and demand, complete overhaul of, you know, well, I don't know, the system. But we also need to, you know, fight for women's economic freedom, because there is a gender pay gap that continues in this country, and and we also cannot, you know, we also have to acknowledge the patriarchal capitalism prioritizes profits over people's needs, and it actually thrives on unpaid labor of women, and this subjection of women in the home and the workplace as well. There's lots more to be said on that.
Yeah, I mean, what shocks me is how we've lived through many feminist movements. Gender discrimination has been in law, anti-gender discrimination bills have been enshrined in globally for many years. Many, many people are under the illusion that we live in a gender equal time, and yet listen to the stats that you just read us. How do we still live in a time where it's somehow part of some men's masculinity where they believe that they can take a woman's life, that it's some solution to some kind of problem or something in them means that is an action like that's within their toolbox.
Yeah, certainly. And, even if it doesn't quite come to, murder or taking a life, also, you know, how many women are experiencing, you know, coercive control? How many face the threat of violence and live in fear? I think absolutely. I think Chloe mentioned before patriarchal capitalism. I think, you know, those of us who are committed to anti-capitalist action or social justice always need to keep in mind that when we talk about capitalism, we are always talking about patriarchal capitalism. Patriarchy is a system of domination and oppression, several thousand years older than capitalism. In fact, any capitalist nation or entity that exists has formed within a society that was already organized around patriarchal domination of women. Which does also, it's interestingly enough, patriarchy does actually dominate the preponderance of men in the world, and also children. And perhaps what we see when we look at the rates of gender-based violence is, we live in a society where men are kind of given or are formed as subjects with this sense of entitlement. You know, patriarchy tells men that they can do anything, that they should be dominant, that they should receive X, Y, Z privileges simply for existing. However, in capitalism, particularly, you know, neoliberal forms of capitalism that are, you know, becoming more and more intensified, and people are becoming more and more disempowered with less actual say over what happens in their lives, perhaps, you know, the only way in which people can feel virile or as if they have any control or preserve themselves and, you know, preserve this sense of masculine entitlement is through violence, particularly against women in a society where it's kind of unsaid, but, you know, understood that when you look at the actual facts on the ground, that violence against women is acceptable.
And do we think the legal system is helping women either? It seems to be playing catch up, or in some cases it just works against us. I was reading through a previous Green Left article by feminist and social worker Ange Carr, and she talks about in the first part of this year, it was only in the first part of this year that non-fatal strangulation became a crime in Victoria. And that's actually quite shocking. One of the highest risk factors and indicators of lethality in family violence is someone with a history of strangulation. And another terrible statistic is the fact that only 15% of sexual assault survivors even take their cases to court, because the justice system always puts the burden of proof on the victims. So the chance of conviction is often very low. Of course, as socialists, we don't think that you know, things can be won through our court system, but it is, you know, we do fight for better laws in this country. This is what we have to deal with. And, you know, just like you were talking about, you know, like past and ongoing feminist movements, it's just, you know, just like in the 60s and 70s, the women's movement raised consciousness about the structural causes of women's oppression. And in this day and like today, we actually need to keep doing more of that and able to win the reforms that we need for ending violence against women. And also, you know, thinking about the oppression of LGBT people in the LGBT plus communities as well.
Yeah, I mean, and if we look back at the last say like 50 to 100 years of the growth in women's rights, I would say, you know, this is subjective, I would say culturally there's been a lot of encouragement of women to be able to do more stuff. And they have done loads of stuff because they can, and they're more than capable of it. We've, you know, led countries, we've led movements, we've done everything, and generally in less time and more efficiently than maybe men. You know, excuse sexist statement.
No, it's not.
As in, women have achieved a huge amount with the voting and legal rights that they've had, and there's a culturally quite a lot of encouragement of the empowerment of women, empowerment of young girls. But I think what is really needed next is a really substantial reestablishment of what masculinity is and what it means to be a good boy and a good man, a masculinity that allows vulnerability, that allows for care. I mean, I can't sum it up quickly just now because it's so profound, the change that needs to happen. But if we've been reestablishing what it means to be a girl or a woman in this society, we need to really reestablish what it means to be a good boy and a good man. Because I think that's
whatever good means.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just, I mean, and that will be subjective and that will be, like, different for different people. But it seems that in this time that many men feel as if they've simply had power taken away from them, and they don't know they don't know how to be different. They don't know how to be in a society where women can do more stuff than before.
Yeah, and we absolutely need men to, you know, being a feminist, you know, doesn't mean it's just a women's issue. We actually need men to stand with us in fighting for women's liberation. That's extremely important. And there are, I know, lots of feminist men out there that absolutely see the need for that fight and will march with us in the streets. You know, someone like Jordan, I guess. Yeah, and I guess there's a lot more to say on this, but we do need to wrap up because I want to go, let's go to a song.
Next, we're going to play Working Together by Ike and Tina Turner. Firstly, it's a really beautiful song from the 70s about, it's an anti-racist anthem that encourages collective action, all things we love here at Green Left. And also performed by Tina Turner, who in the 80s was one of the first figures in the media to talk openly about her experience of domestic violence from Ike. It had a profound cultural impact, her bravely speaking about this. Think of how unbelievably hard it would be to be the one of the first people to talk openly about such an experience. So Tina Turner, beautiful song by her, by an incredibly brave person.
Working together we can.